Hey guys, I'm excited to introduce you to Zach Butler, who's the pastor at Gateway Church in Blue Springs.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Zach and I have been getting together almost every week for close to a couple years now.
Yeah,
it's gotten to be good friends. And today, at the end of service, we're going to be talking about a need that Gateway has. But before we get there, just like Maywood has these two vision passages, you know, the Great Commission and Ephesians 4 about us being gifted and working together. So we're always talking about those things, right? Well, Gateway has a vision passage that's also a great passage of Scripture at the very end of Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. And so today, I'm just going to kind of pick Zach's brain about what wisdom can we learn from him about that passage, and we're going to talk through it. And so the passage of Scripture, it's about the very first church in Jerusalem and what was it like to be a part of that church? And it's this really amazing, inspiring look at the community they had. And so we're going to look at it today and be wondering, how can we take a step towards that? So that's what we're looking towards today. So we're going to read this passage. It'll be up here on screen. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, if you want to follow along. And it's talking about the first Christians, they're meeting at church. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that was the leaders of the church who had been with Jesus, and to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, that was eating together, and to prayer. So to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, to the fellowship, and to prayer. And we're going to read through this whole passage, and we're going to come back and talk about it. So the next verse says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Verse 45, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. So there's a lot there. You can see how that could become a church's vision passage, right? There's a lot to live into. Today, we want to hit some big points from it. So the first one I want to ask you about, Zach, is it talks about they were devoted to these different things at the beginning. And if we're going to have a Christian community, where does devotion play in? How does that play in for a community?
Yeah, I think we all know whatever you devote yourself to ultimately will shape the outcome of that community. So if a community is gathered to play bunco each week. There. All right, you hear me now? Okay, so like I was saying, okay, whatever a community is devoted to, that will shape what ultimately that community looks like. You know, and so if you devote yourself as a community to bingo once a week or to bunco once a week, and for myself, it's spades. I love playing spades. All right, I got a couple of fans here. All right, I love to play spades. And so as a community, what you devote yourself to will ultimately shape what that community looks like, how that community functions. And it's vital as the church, as God's people, as his children together, that we devote ourselves to God. Because ultimately, if we devote ourselves to anything other than God, we won't be a good representation of who God is. All right? What the church looks like won't mirror the image of God to the world that is around us. I would say even on top of that, the importance of our devotion to God, is also, if we don't devote ourselves to God, but the sole focus of, you know, the reason our community gathered was to play spades, there'd be some things lacking in our community. There'd be some things lacking, because some of the things that God asks for us as his community to do together as a community are things like prayer, things like breaking of bread, things like fellowship, things like worship and confession, all right, celebration. There are aspects of community that God asks us to do together. And so if we're not devoted to him and we're missing those things in our community, ultimately, our community falls short of what God has designed for us. And that's an important piece, what God has designed for us. Because no matter how, you know, bad we think we are, or how tough we are, or how much we want to live in this kind of this sheltered place. I don't want to let anybody into my life. The reality is we all want to be known. Deep down, we all do want to be known. We want to be known. And likewise, we want to have a community that really knows us and who stays with us, is committed to us, even though they know everything about us. There's an intimacy that the deep parts of all of us long for. And if God isn't our devotion, if our community isn't built around being devoted to God, we miss out on those things. We miss out on that intimacy. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Sorry, no, you answered it.
I'm used to preaching, so I'll just keep
going. You just keep going. I understand how that could go. So a couple of things to highlight just to bring it to you guys here at Maywood with this devotion piece. Is they're devoted to Jesus. They're devoted to God. And then Acts gives us all these actions they took, like what Zach is talking about, devoted to prayer. All these different things. And for us here at Maywood, if you look at yourselves, you can see what you're devoted to. What wins out when things get competitive in your life, when things demand your time? Or what do you do that's hard? So even just looking in this room, I know we got people in the fellowship hall and in the youth chapel and online, but just looking in this room, I see somebody who is one of those super busy people, but who has shown up in very big ways to commit time to what's happening here at Maywood. And it's because Jesus changed their life on a prison a long time ago, right? And so even though they have a hard time giving time, very many places they've given a lot of time because of a devotion to Jesus. Or I see somebody that's back in the room today for the first time in a while, and it probably wasn't easy to be here. And there's a devotion to Jesus that drew them to make that hard step. Christmas night, we were doing a little live stream, and Tip, are you in the room at this moment? Tip typically doesn't, yeah, there he is. So Tip doesn't mind me talking about him typically, so there you go. So I got permission, there you go, take the hands. So Tip on Christmas night is having a rough night. So we're doing this Facebook stream, and honestly, on Christmas Day, my family is normally like, I don't have a lot of space for other people, right? But out of devotion to Jesus, I'm doing this thing, talking about God. Gets me connected with Tip. Tip starts to come to church. Lester's devoted to Jesus is here. Winds up opening up a door for Tip with the Maple Street House. Then today, Chrissy got to be here for the first time in forever. We got a babysitter this morning, and that was awesome. And I was supposed to go meet her at the van and walk her into the building. And had something happening with somebody that needed some TLC when that was going on. But strange enough, it was Timothy, the youth, who was on the drums that tipped me off to like, hey, Jake, this person needs you. And then it was Tip who wanted to give me extra help with that person. And you just see that, like, because lots of people in the room are choosing Jesus first, it's bringing us into a team. That's what it does. But if we were coming together for spades, if we were coming together for some sport or something else, like it would only go as far as that thing is, right? Our group could only go as far as what we're devoted to. It's Jesus has to be the centerpiece, right? It can't be that we're trying to have real good friends, right? It has to be that we're doing this because we believe Jesus is worth it. So, but if Jesus is worth it, it gets us to this awesome thing that I really want to pick Zach's brain on being in common as a church. Because what happens in Jerusalem, they're selling their farms, they're selling what they own to take care of each other. It's pretty wild stuff. And I've not seen many groups act like that church acted back then. So with this guy, this being your guys' vision passage, what does it look like to hold things in common as Christians?
It's a good question. It is radical. To share all things in common today in our society is kind of a radical way, you know, of living, because we live in this place where we want to hoard things, we want to hold things tight. You know, sometimes we have this impulsion of, is that better? Yeah. You want me to drink the mic? Right. Yeah. We have this tendency, right, where we have sometimes this doubt and fear of, hey, you know, I don't know what's coming tomorrow, so I need to hold on to this. right? What's going to happen in 6 months? So I need to make sure that I'm prepared for what's going to happen in 6 months. But you look at the radical nature of the early church, and it was like, no, they shared all things in common. What they had didn't belong to them. It belonged to their community because they were devoted to Jesus. And man, if the world saw the church operate in that fashion, man, God's glory would definitely be on display. How that looks for us, some ways that we try and go about sharing all things in common. Just during this latest season, during, COVID, the meat prices skyrocketed, right? It was like, holy cow, I just want a hamburger. But the meat prices skyrocketed. And so as a church, we bought a whole cow, and we named that cow Betsy. And we brought Betsy, we put Betsy in the freezer, at the church, and, you know, everybody, could come and share, from Betsy, all right, come and get Betsy and take it back. But it was a way for us to take, the money that we had together and go, hey, how do we take care of one another here right now? But also, how do we take care of people in the community right now who go to the grocery store and they look at the meat price and go, you know, I can't do that. All right, just an example of what does it look like to share all things in common. One of the other ways that you share things in common is you share your house. You share your residency with somebody. You can't read the scripture. You can't read the gospels and not see all of the stories, all of the encounters where Jesus is at a table with somebody, where Jesus was reclining at the table with the Pharisees. Or he was reclining at the table with those who had this disease that were untouchable, that shouldn't have even been in the public square. You see him reclining at the table with sinners, the marginalized, the outcast. You also see him at the table with people that followed him. But you can't get very far along in the gospel without seeing Jesus sharing all things in common with people by being at the table with them, by being in their home. You know, I think that's one priority for us at Gateway is how do we be in each other's homes? How do we live life together there around the table? And so, you guys, I was a part of a great Bible study class this morning in here. And we have Bible studies that also happen on Sunday, and we have Bible studies that happen during the week in people's living rooms around people's tables. Because we want to share, even the place that we live in, we want to share that. We want to have that in common with the people that we do life with. That's an important thing. Because when you get to somebody's living room, when you get around the table with somebody, you see somebody's kids, you see how somebody lives, that's an intimate space. That's a real intimate space. But when we get there together as a community, there's an opportunity for real relationship, real transformational relationship to happen in a community. When you look at me and you look at my kids run around the house like wild, crazed animals, and you see my horrible parenting on display, right? You get to see me, the inner workings of me, good, the bad, the ugly. Man, there's opportunity for real relationship to happen because it probably removes the walls. You look at, oh yeah, that pastor's just as crazy as I am. Right, we have a chance now. All right, we also, another way, a big way, we try to share all things in common together as a church is we have a ministry called Mercy Ministry. All right, it's just, you guys have, you know, a student ministry, you have a children's ministry. We have this ministry at Gateway called Mercy Ministry.
Zach, can I interrupt you for just a second?
Yeah,
so
go ahead.
I don't want to slow, I don't want to get to Mercy Ministry, yeah. But tell us specifically with the youth group, when you got youth leaders, tell us about the table, because I think that's cool for us to hear.
Yeah, so the vision of our youth ministry is get to the table. Our youth pastor and all of our volunteers in the youth ministry, the vision for them is get to the table. And what that means for them is this. It's, hey, Wednesday nights when the students come, when you guys go to camp or you have retreats, whatever it is that you're doing with the students, these are all functions. These are all opportunities. These are doors for you to pursue to get to their table. For you to sit down in their home with them. Because if you can get to their home And you can sit down on their couch and you can play video games. Or you can sit down at their table and you can have McDonald's. All right, or you can pick them up from school and drop them off and hang out with them until their parents get home. Whatever the deal is, if you can get there, there's a great opportunity for a real relationship to take place. You know, because you think about, man, if you're a student worker in here, and you're like, man, what would it take to get to a student's home? You know, like, that's a difficult thing. One, the student's got to quit looking at you like you're a creeper. You know, but you also, right, have to build trust with the parents of that student. And so you see all the things that are necessary in order for, you know, for one of our youth leaders to go into a student's home and to hang out with them. But if we get there, Maywood, if you guys get there together where you are in each other's living rooms, at each other's tables, man, transformational relationships happen. Jesus shows us that. Yes, go ahead.
So real quick, just to put a pin in that, if you're a leader at Maywood, you're trying to equip some people under you, I love that their vision is an action that takes a whole bunch of stuff to get there. So they're pushing people to do this, but you got to build trust and connection with the youth and even with their family. And so if you're sponsoring somebody or you're leading a small group here or you're developing folks on the worship team or whatever, think about, like, what's a thing I could say, hey, if we got to this spot, we would have done a lot of healthy things. And then you put that out there for your folks. Like, let's build something healthy. I feel like that's a good example for us.
And a good way for you to build trust, you know, some of our leaders will go to sporting events of students in the student ministry. We'll go to band recitals. Because when you show up there, not only do you show that student, hey, I value you and I care about what you care about, but also guess who else sees you there? Their parents. Right? And so you have this opportunity then to build trust with the parents so that you can come into the home and speak life into the student.
And when you hear that idea, you realize, wait, so I'm not just showing up on Wednesday night. I'm hanging out at, like, the middle school girls' basketball game. And then I'm having, you know, chicken nuggets on Thursday night over at their house or whatever. That's a lot of time. And you start to see why in Acts they had to start sacrificing stuff to be together like this. It takes devotion to build real relationships. And it's okay not to be devoted all over the place. You really can't pull that off. But I would love it if you're part of Maywood, you're somehow devoted in some particular way to say, I'm going to really build real community in this way. So Mercy Ministry, you're about to dive into. I have a history with Gateway I'll share more about in a minute, but Gateway has met at a school for a long time. Gateway's been around for about 20 years.
Yeah, about 20 years.
And they had an opportunity a long time ago their budget or the offerings that were coming in were way bigger than what they were spending on rent for the school and just the stuff they were doing. They had a really small staff. Now, a lot of churches, when you see that, like, the money coming in is way bigger than what you're spending, they would then have some sort of, we're going to build this building or do this other big thing or open up this other thing or hire 15 more staff. Gateway's vision at the time was, there's a lot of folks in our community that have needs. There's a lot of debt problems. They immediately started helping their own folks at the church with credit card debt in, like, a real way, like classes and, like, help. And then as a church, they decided, let's buy some houses in our neighborhood. And what did they start doing with those houses? Yeah.
Yeah. So the houses that we bought were used to show people mercy. Jesus says to the Pharisees, right, I desire mercy. Go and learn what this means. So Mercy Ministry and us buying the houses was a way for us to show people mercy. And what that looked like is this, is people who fell on financially hard times or people were trying to reconcile some family dynamics, whatever the case is, you know, a family was needing mercy, what would happen is we would ask them, we would invite them, hey, would you like to move in to one of our houses here in the neighborhood? And what happens when a family moves in, there's this covenant relationship that happens between the church and that family. And so I can speak to that because my wife and I and our kids lived in one of these homes in this neighborhood for 2 years. And we both came back from college. We were broke. She quickly got pregnant. All right, and we couldn't make ends meet, and so I called, and this was way before I was on staff, and I said, hey, we need some help. I don't know how this is going to work out. So we lived in one of these homes for 2 years, and the covenant relationship meant this. It meant that as long as I lived in the home, my wife and I would have a marriage mentor from the church. My wife would have a personal mentor. I would have a personal mentor. We would have financial coaches from the church. And so what would happen is there was this covenant between our family and the people in our church, and they would walk with us financially, spiritually. They would walk with our marriage. They would walk with us personally. And it was this devotion to one another, because the covenant only works if there's this mutual devotion to one another. It only works, obviously, if there's a devotion to God, but then this devotion to one another. And it's a beautiful process to watch play out. Watch a church, you know, and a family be devoted to one another and to show one another mercy is. But we share all things in common, right? We're talking to our marriage mentors, like, hey, this is what's going on in our marriage right now. She wants to kill me, you know. We look at our finances, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that this month, all right? I'll take my lashings later. But you share all things in common with your mentors and with the church. They know everything about you. And guess what? There's something freeing about that. There's something freeing about when you walk in the door and you know your church family knows everything that's going on. They even know what you spent last week on this. And yet they love me, and yet I can worship here. It's an intimate thing. It's a freeing thing. But again, another example, you know, through Mercy Ministry, how we share all things together. And it's also a way for us to outreach in the community. If there's families we know in the community that need help, it's a way for us to invite them into our family and share all things together.
So here's something awesome I want to tell you about Gateway. Gateway's had this Acts 2 passage as their vision passage for the whole time they've been in existence. And, you know, Joey Butler, who I've mentioned to you guys a lot, a mentor of mine growing up, Joey was the founding pastor at Gateway. And, you know, Joey could not have imagined when they had that as a vision passage that that would create the Mercy Ministry out of it, but they were being faithful to that. And then I bet when they created the Mercy Ministry, he didn't have in mind, my son is going to live in one of those houses, you know, because that was years later. And Zach didn't have the best moments, you know, at some points along the way. And so as far as following Jesus. And so I bet many people at Gateway, when they thought, okay, we're going to help Zach and his family out, they did not think, oh, this is going to pay off somehow down the road for Gateway. Right? No one could have predicted, I don't think, that Zach is going to become the lead pastor at Gateway. But Gateway was faithful to the vision that God put on their church, and as they carried it out, God continues to provide for them for the future. And we hear about this vision of the Great Commission and Ephesians all the time. I'm confident as we equip people in their gifts and as we go and make disciples, and that's what we make our life about, God is going to take care of us as a church. And like, we have a faithful brother church here that's doing what God's called them to do, and God's taking care of them. And so I want to tell you just a little bit more about me and Gateway. And so when I got done with college, I came back to be mentored by Joey, and I started attending Gateway. That was my home church, basically, at that point. And so when I felt called to be a missionary in Mexico full-time, I had a discernment meeting that helped me do that. That was in Gateway's old office over by the post office in Blue Springs. And Joey was in the room. And then Gateway Church themselves was a 25% of my support when I was in Mexico. And the church members were easily another quarter or more. And Gateway Church came down and visited me while I was in Mexico. They built a house with me. Yeah, the whole time, kind of in that stage of my life, Gateway was my home church. They took care of me. And when I came back from Mexico, I knew I was going to seminary in the Kansas City area. My very first meeting in town, on ministry was with Joey Butler. And I went to that same office in Blue Springs, and I said, I'm going to go to seminary. I want to be in ministry. I'm pretty sure the only job I can get right now is a youth pastor. Do you know of any youth pastor positions? And Joey right then called Bob on his cell phone. I'd never heard of Bob Spradling before. And Joey said, are you still looking for a youth pastor? And like a week or so later, Bob and I went out for lunch. And that's how I became youth pastor at Maywood, was through Joey. And when Bob and I first had the idea of like me transitioning, or Bob had the idea really first, but when we were talking about me transitioning to lead pastor, we met with Joey. That was one of the first people we met with. Bob and I went out for Mexican, got his advice on how to do it right. And it's just been amazing to see what God's done through Joey, but also through Gateway. And then how Maywood and Gateway have been kind of connected, but not really very overtly connected. And then Zach and I got connected a couple years ago, started hanging out every week. And we've dreamed a little bit about what our churches could do together. But it meant a lot to me when Zach came to me and said, like, Gateway's got a need. So Gateway has met in a school forever, but with COVID, they've not been able to meet in schools. So they're meeting in the afternoons at a church, kind of like Kairos is doing. Like, they're in the afternoon at a church in Blue Springs. But they bought land years ago, but they've not really known when's the right time to build. And now they feel like now's the right time for them to build a building. So they're trying to raise funds to do that building. So what we're about to do as Maywood is we're going to have a chance to give to their building campaign. You might say, like, wait, Jake, aren't there, like, you know, if you talk to Earl, you hear about stuff broken at Maywood or something. Like, why are we giving money to this other church? What is that about? What it's about is I believe God wants the church with a big C to really treat each other like brothers and sisters. And we can't always do it right away. There's some churches in Independence that I honestly don't trust, just to be frank. And then there's some churches in Independence that God is building us close to, right? And we're doing what we can to build close to. And we can't run ahead of God, okay? But very much on my radar is like, God, what churches do you want us to partner with? Because I believe one of the things God wants to do in this season is partner Maywood with some other churches. I believe we have a lot of gifted folks, and God's called us to equip all these gifted folks, and I don't think they're all supposed to stay here. And I also think when you get us working with other churches, all of our crazy strengths and all of our strange weaknesses, we'll be better off when we're buddied up with very different churches. And everyone is very different from us. You know, like, it's easy to find it. So, you know, Gateway Church is asking for our help right now. I'm going to hand things off to Zach to kind of tell you the vision here. But that's what this love offering is about. If you are online, you're like, I can't get up there to give that offering. Maywoodbaptistchurch.org/give is how you can give to this. Just as you're going through that, there's a little designated thing. Also, if you're like, I don't have anything with me right now, Jake, but I want to give, all month long, you can give a designated gift to Maywood if you just mail it in or put a little note with it or put it in an envelope with a little note. If you just say Gateway or Gateway Love Offering, that'll get to them. Lots of different ways to give. But Zach, I want to hand things off to you.
Yeah. 10 years ago, as Jake mentioned, we bought this property, about 13 acres off of Woods Chapel, there in Blue Springs. And, you know, the vision for that property when we bought it 10 years ago, that would always be a place that would be the hub for Gateway Church. And there were little crown drawings at the time of this property where we had this chapel out on this property. We had hiking trails on this property. We had yard games out on the property, fire pit. There was an amphitheater. And so it was very much this picture of this hub for people to come and gather to do life, to share all things in common. But it was also a place, it was a hub where people would be sent out of, just like Jake just mentioned, that he believes some of you aren't meant to stay here, but some of you are going to be sent out in your gifts to further the kingdom of God. It was always the vision of Gateway, that this would be a hub in which other plants would come out of, in which missionaries would be sent out of, all right, in which other pastors and would be sent out of. And then everyday people who go to work would be sent out of refreshed from having this place that they would be able to continually on a weekly basis come to. That's what I love about what Psalm 71 says. You know, the writer of Psalm 71 says, God, be a rock to me. Be a place of refuge for me that I can continually come to again and again and again. And that was the vision for this property 10 years ago. And so right after we bought this property and paid it off, you know, my father, as Jake mentioned, you know, got diagnosed with cancer and shortly after passed away. And so here we are, we just bought the property, you know, then our senior pastor gets cancer. It's like, okay, well, we should probably hold the button here on some things and figure some things out what we're going to do. So we didn't build the building during that time. There were also some hiccups during that time that prevented us from building the building. Just to run internet to this land, to this property, was like $500,000. It was $500,000 just to get internet, just to get the lines of internet into this property. And so it was like, we're not doing that. All right, we're not doing that. But since then, over the years, neighborhoods have been built right around this property. And so the internet lines have been brought to us, right? The people have been brought to us. Now there's neighborhoods surrounding this property. All right, when COVID hit, we got kicked out of the school. All right, also in our culture right now, like, we never know. I could say something on a Sunday morning that is offensive to our culture, and because we're in a school, they may ask us to leave. And so as a leadership, we've been very prudent on, hey, we need to prepare. We need to prepare. And so we voted as a congregation that, hey, we were going to begin fundraising for this building, this hub where we share all things in common out here on this property. And so as a church, our church voted, all right? And so we are now in the process of raising those funds. And so that's where we're at, you know, and as Jake mentioned, Jake and I have been meeting for a couple years, and you have a great coach, pastor, whatever you guys call him, Jake. You have a great coach, and I know that because he's been great for me. I walked through a similar process that he did through a transition, and Jake has always given me sound counsel and good advice. He's always asked me the hard questions. He's always held me accountable to things. And so we have a relationship that's deeper than just the surface. And so I would never come in here and hear me. I would never come in here and manipulate you, pressure you into giving money to something that the Holy Spirit wasn't asking you to do. Jake and I have a relationship. We share a vision for the church being one together. And so I just want to share with you what's going on at Gateway Church, what God is doing at Gateway Church, and then trust whatever God wants to do with that. All right, the Bible is clear that we give generously, we don't give reluctantly. All right, you make it up in your own mind, and I trust the Holy Spirit to handle that. You know, and so Jake and I just wanted to talk about, you know, this vision and share what God's doing at Gateway and how might God be asking you to partner with us. So does that make sense?
That makes sense. And in each room, we're going to take up this offering, and each room in the church has got somebody from Gateway there to kind of give you a little testimony. So Fellowship Hall and Youth Chapel, if you guys want to kind of turn us off and listen to your own person from Gateway. Last thing I want to say, and then we're going to have a time where you can come up and give if you want to. Zach is very right. I don't want there to be any sort of pressure for anybody. If you're like, I don't know what Gateway is, I want to talk more to somebody about it or something, that's great. If you are hesitant because you think, like, this has been a rough year and how is Maywood doing financially, I do want to just take that fear away. Maywood's made some decisions to try to be thrifty this last year. And you guys have been very generous, and even in December were very generous. So Maywood, you know, offerings were more than 10% over what our spending was this last year. You know, and that's from you guys, yeah. So Maywood's in this process right now of thinking through, like, what does God want us to do to be faithful? But certainly one of the things he wants us to do is to be generous as a church. You know, so that's what we're trying to do. So don't feel hesitant, like, oh, I got to keep something going to Maywood. It's really, God, what do you want me to do? And if this feels like a blessing to be able to help somebody else, that's what we're encouraging, right? This is an opportunity to help. So we don't normally have people come down and give, like, as nothing else going on. And I know if this were Kairos, they would have some, like, really upbeat music going and somebody really preaching, like, during their offering time. But that's what this thing is here for. And I'm going to let Zach close us out with any final thoughts and a prayer. But you can come down whenever you want and give. You can do it afterwards, too. And also, Zach is going to hang out for a little bit. So if you want to ask him something or something like that, like, he's right here. Now's your chance. So close us out, Zach.
Yeah, I just want to close us out by saying this. When you see in the passage in Acts 2, 42 through 47, you see when the church lived together in community, there was all that came upon every soul. There was awe. There was wonders and signs being done, and everybody had this sense of awe about themselves. And I just want to ask you, you know, like, hey, what would happen? What would we experience as the church, as the big church, when we share all things in common together? What does awe feel like? What does wonders and miracles and signs, what does that look like? You know, Jake and I, like he said, we've been dreaming about some things. I lead a class similar to what Jake leads here at Flight Training, and we've been talking about, hey, how do we partner what you're doing and what I'm doing? How do we partner these two ministries? You know, and so we're continuing to dream about what that looks like. But think about, what does awe feel like? What does awe feel like in the soul? Acts 2, 42 through 47 teaches that when we share all things in common, all is a byproduct of that. All is a byproduct of that. So, you know, can I pray? Yeah. Let's pray. God, thank you that you first shared all things in common with us. You didn't hold back anything. You didn't spare anything when you sent your son to die for us. But you gave us all of you. All that you had, you gave to us so that we may know you and experience you, so that we may be filled with awe at your love for us. And God, you love us. You love us. You want to know us. You want us to know you. You want to pull up at our dinner table and talk to us. And we thank you for that. And God, let that compel us as your people, as your community, to give up of ourselves like you have given to us, to share what we have with other people just like you shared with us, to love people just like you loved us. God, compel us as your church to live and walk that out. Amen.
Amen.